So what goes on in the mind of a school attacker? Let's find out. Actually, John Ledoux of Waseca, Minnesota, never carried out his plan to kill his family, police, and as many students in his high school as possible. He was caught in a storage shed surrounded by his arsenal of pressure cookers and bombs after a tip from a neighbor. And John certainly doesn't speak for all thwarted school attackers, of which it's worth noting there are dozens. But his story is revealing. First of all, it's hard to charge someone for attacks not carried out. John took a plea deal, spent 2 years in juvenile halls and jail before returning to his family, declining probation and taking a felony charge instead. That angered some people. But John says coping skills and medication helped him see his skewed thinking. He's gone to college, is a welder. He doesn't think he deserves attention, but agreed to speak with us. John Ledoux, thank you so much.
Yep. No problem.
Well, and put this in context, it sounds like you were the kind of kid a lot of parents would love to have, a self-starter, good grades. When you were 8, gave your entire savings, $200, to a family who lost a father and brother in a home invasion. Can you explain, as you got older, you know, people were seeing this on the outside, what was going on inside?
I guess I mostly noticed it through my 7th and 8th grade years, how I just get more irritable with people and sort of grow kind of resentful of smaller notions they had. Like, it kind of bothered me watching people mess around. And I always remember when people were screwing around in the class, the teachers would always say something like, "Do you think they're going to allow this sort of behavior in high school?" And when I got to high school, nevertheless, they did. And it's just far more obvious.
Yeah. Well, and you were someone who really wanted to learn. You told the Minneapolis Star Tribune, "It bothered you that your German teacher knew more about German than you did. It bothered you that Mozart composed music at 5 and you were working on a guitar riff." You were really putting a lot of pressure on yourself.
Yeah, I felt like I should have been naturally doing much better than I was. And it just bothered me to see counterexamples of that everywhere I looked.
Hmm. A lot of kids have anger in high school, but they decide maybe they'll come back in 10 years at the reunion and show everybody. I'll show everybody how well I did. When did it start to change for you, too? I'm going to show them now.
There wasn't a distinct pushing moment. It was more a gradual buildup of what I talked about earlier. I looked around and people were enjoying stuff, and I was just kind of living day to day, just existing.
Yeah.
So it was more fueled by my disappointment and frustration that led me to want to be violent, is because I wanted to feel satisfaction through dominance, basically.
That's what you told the police, that you were going to conquer. That's what it would be. You'd be on the top of the heap. But how much did you have a fascination with Columbine that apparently people didn't know about, Eric Harris?
That wasn't my inspiration. Hmm. I more just, in terms of the one you mentioned, Eric, getting to know him through his writings, I felt I agreed with a lot of his attitudes. So that's pretty much how far that goes, though.
And you've described some of that, I think, this idea that I should be taken more seriously and I should have more. He expressed some of those same things. As you talk about this now, is this uncomfortable for you to explain these feelings? Does it make sense to you, I guess, is what I'm saying? I mean, are you thinking, oh, my God, I can't believe I once thought this?
Looking back on it, I can pretty clearly see how it led to it. But nowadays, when I look at it, it's very embarrassing. So, yeah, in that sense, where I say, what the hell was I doing? Yeah, I would apply that statement you just used.
Yeah. You were setting off small bombs in the woods, starting to build up this feeling. You get caught. A lot of doctors came in and said, first of all, they thought you had Asperger's with a violent indication. Later, it was thought that you had sort of a narcissistic issue with a severe depression.
My final evaluators, who I agree with the most, their diagnoses were 3 things. It was narcissistic personality disorder, unspecified personality disorder with obsessive compulsive traits, and major depressive syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Does that help you understand? I mean, narcissism, that's what I was thinking when you were saying I should be the best. You were really good, but it wasn't enough for you. Does that give you a little bit of relief? I mean, have you been able to say, I don't have to be the absolute best? I mean, how has that, if that has that helped you?
It's kind of a bit more of an instinctual thing. I can rationalize that it doesn't make sense. Like, now I can rationalize my way out of the instinct, but the feeling itself of I should be doing a better job, even if you're really doing really good already, it just doesn't go away.
It doesn't go away. So the feelings of not being good enough are still there. I'm so sorry. But you say you've learned skills to remind you that's not rational. But still, do you understand how people might be saying, well, wait a second, why are you out at all?
I think if I was in their shoes, I would probably be saying the exact same thing.
Well, and what's your answer? Are you sure you won't do this again?
Yeah, I mean, right now, my view on life is even if things go terribly, there's not a rational reason to involve harming other people into it.
Look, you've also had tremendous supporters. There was the woman from Russia who wrote you a letter. She said when she was a teen, she had studied the Columbine killers. She turned a corner, never acted on her darkest thoughts. She said, you know, how lucky are you? Do you feel lucky that you didn't act on yours?
I mean, I said I was going to and I felt I had to, but I don't really know how deeply I would have tried to act on them. Physically, it was making me feel sick and I was tired of it, so... Me being caught, I am.
Wow, but you were feeling sick about it. Part of this plan included your family, who you seem to love very much, your sister and parents. Is there a place in there? If somebody had a sign up at school, feeling murderous thoughts, come talk to us. Or, you know, is there something that could have stopped you before you were actually caught, given that you were feeling sick about it?
I don't know who it would have been, but someone to sit down and rationalize exactly what my thoughts are and why they're incorrect. That's what would have been, is just someone telling me I was wrong.
You know, this is what some of your fellow foiled shooters say. There's a man named Aaron who wrote an op-ed about this. He said, if I'd been able to have this conversation with somebody, something might have changed. So just talking to someone could help. But John, you've also told us it has to be couched correctly, because you've said that as a narcissist, if someone told you to go get help, you wouldn't have gone. You didn't think you needed it.
I suppose at the time I was more thinking that I don't need and I don't want any help. I felt I should have been able to handle things on my own. And I don't recall anyone ever telling me prior to that I needed help. So, I mean, maybe if someone said it due to my behavior, then I might have taken a bit seriously. But I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, and people didn't see things, which makes you very different from the Florida shooter, we should say. There were terrible signs of where he was headed. Very different. But you told us a story about a friend of yours that it just took one thing. It took somebody saying hi to him.
Yep, that was one example I used. Actually, off the top of my head right now, I can think of five people in Minnesota who are within my age group who have reported to me that they've had, at one point in time, serious thoughts about doing something like a shooting or attack at their school or something like that, and none of them done. Unfortunately, I found out just a few weeks ago that one of them committed suicide. I knew him a while ago, so that's upsetting. Mm. But that person you were referencing is a person I'm pretty close to now. So he was on his way to stab this guy, and the guy was down the hall from him. And there was one girl who she just happened to be nice in some way to him. He'd passed her, and I don't know if she smiled or said hi to him or something. But because of that, he decided not to go and stab the guy. And now he is working, and he's doing pretty well.
Hmm. Well, and so are you, we understand. You got your welding certification, a welder and fabricator. Yep. Started seeing a therapist again.
I'm currently not seeing her now because the clinic I went to, they closed down, and I just haven't gotten I haven't rescheduled it at this new clinic yet. But it's something I intend to resume very soon.
Because why? What does it do for you? I mean, again, you're someone who was diagnosed with a narcissistic disorder. Those people don't think they need anyone. And, you know, and now, what does this mean to you?
Well, my depression is recurrent. So even if I'm not having some breakthrough each time, it's nice to have someone knowledgeable to talk to this stuff about. Mm. People who have made connections in the past, former therapists and state workers, I've gained a lot from them.
Mm. What would you say to someone hearing this that either worries about their child, that they're seeing signs now of somebody who might go beyond the I hate everybody at school, or somebody who's had these thoughts, what would you say to them?
I guess I'd ask, what do they want? And I think that you'll find that the people who are thinking about this sort of thing mostly want to do it because there's something that's not going right for them. Ask them what they want, and then rationalize how they can get it, because you'll pretty much always find out that the ways you can get what you want are very attainable. I guess I'd make an analogy to life being like a car. If you steer it correctly, it can get you pretty much anywhere you want to go, but crashing it doesn't usually bring you to your destination.
Hmm. One last question. you are in so many ways not at all like the Florida shooter. But when these shootings happen and you see those faces, you know, on television and the victims and just the bereft parents and the fear, do you at all think, you know, what do you think?
Sometimes it really bugs me a lot where I need to verbalize some sort of command to my mind to, you know, shut up and focus on this. I need to say something verbal, even if I'm alone, just verbalize something to myself, even if it's swearing a lot, because swearing helps relieve a lot of stress. So,
well, we're so glad that you know that you didn't do that. You did not do that. John Ledoux of Waseca, Minnesota, we wish you all the best.
Thanks a bunch.
And by the way, if this is hitting home for you, as John just said, talk to someone. And tomorrow, a researcher who's been studying the dozens of thwarted young school attackers. What more can we learn?